time of game now. It's all part of the game. Narayanam namaskritam.
Narayanam namaskritam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devam sarasvatim vyasam.
Devam sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jayam udirae.
Tato jayam udirae.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 3:13, the appearance of Lord Varaha. Text 35. Rupam tavaitam nanu duskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayat arvaryatmakam. Durdarshanam devayat arvaryatmakam. Chandamsi yasya tvachi barhi romasu. Rishu Chaturhotram.
Ajam
Drishi Tvag Rishu Chaturhotram. Rupam Tavaitam Nanuduskritatmanam.
Rupam Tavaitam Nanuduskritatmanam.
Durdarshanam Devayat Arvaryatmakam. Chandamsi yasya tvachi barhi romasu.
Chandamsi yasya tvachi barhi romasu.
Ajam drishi tvangrishu chaturhotram.
Ajam drishi tvangrishu chaturhotram.
Bolye.
Rupam tavaitam anuduskritatmanam.
Rupam tavaitam anuduskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayat arvaryatmakam. Chandamsi yasya tvachi barhi romasu. Ajam drishi tvangrishu chaturhotram. Rukam tavaitam nanuduskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayat arvaryatmakam.
Chandamsi yasya tvachi barhi romasu.
Ajam drishi tvangrishu chaturhotram.
Rupam tavaitam
anuduskritatmanam.
Durdarshanam devayat arvaryatmakam.
Chandamsi yasya tvachi barhi romasu. Ajam drishi tvangrishu chaturhotram. Nanu? But? Duskrita Atmanam. Of souls who are simply miscreants. Durdarshanam.
Very difficult to see.
Deva. O Lord, Yat, that, Advarya Atmakam, worshipable by performance of sacrifice. Chandangsi, the Gayatri Mantra, and others. Yasya, whose Twachi, touch of the skin, Barhi, sacred grass, called Kusha, Ramasu, hairs on the body, Anjam, clarified butter, Drishi, in the eyes, Tu, also, Angreshu, on the four legs, Chaturhotram, four kinds of fruitive activities. So the sages are continuing to offer prayers to Lord Varaha, Rishi Uchahu, O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, Jitam Jitam Te Jita Yagna Bhavanam, all glories and all victories unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body the oceans are submerged. For certain reasons, to uplift the earth, you have now assumed the form of a boar. And today, O Lord, your form is worshipable by the performance of sacrifice. That's okay.
It's okay.
Today, yeah. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. O Lord, your form is worshipable by performances of sacrifice. But souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it, your form. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri, and others are in the touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is the kusha grass. In your eyes is the clarified butter. And your four legs are the four kinds of fruitive activities. And then next few texts. O Lord, your tongue is a plate of sacrifice. Your nostril is another plate of sacrifice. Your belly is the eating plate of sacrifice. And another plate of sacrifice is the hole of your ears. In your mouth is the Brahma plate of sacrifice. Your throat is a plate of sacrifice known as Soma. And whatever you chew is known as Agnihotra. Yeah. Prabhupada's purport. There is a class of miscreants who are known in the words of the Bhagavad Gita as Vedavadi, or so-called strict followers of the Vedas. They do not believe in the incarnation of the Lord. What to speak of the Lord's incarnation as the worshipable hog? They describe worship of different forms or incarnations of the Lord as anthropomorphism. In the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, these men are miscreants. And in Bhagavad Gita 7.15, they are called not only miscreants, but also fools. And the lowest of mankind, it is said their knowledge has been plundered by illusion due to their atheistic temperament. For such condemned persons, the Lord's incarnation as a gigantic hog is invisible. These strict followers of the Vedas, who despise the eternal forms of the Lord, may know from Srimad Bhagavatam, that such incarnations are personified forms of the Vedas. Lord Bohr's skin, his eyes, and his bodily hair holes are all described as different parts of the Vedas. He is therefore the personified form of the Vedic hymns, and specifically the Gayatri Mantra. Shraktunda sit shuva isha nasayor ido dare chamasakarna randre. O Lord, your tongue is a plate of sacrifice, your nostril is another plate of sacrifice, and your belly is the eating plate of sacrifice, and another plate of sacrifice is the holes of your ears. And your mouth is the Brahma plate of sacrifice, your throat is a plate of sacrifice known as Soma, and whatever you chew is known as Agnihotra. One more purport. The Vedavadis say that there is nothing more than the Vedas, and the performance of sacrifice is mentioned in the Vedas. They have recently made a rule of their group to formally observe daily sacrifice. They simply ignite a small fire and offer something whimsically, but they do not strictly follow the sacrificial rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedas. It is understood that by regulation, there are different plates of sacrifice required, such as shrak, shruva, barhis, chatra hotram, ida chamasa, prashitra, graha, and agnihotra. One cannot achieve the results of sacrifice unless one observes the strict regulations. In this age, there is practically no facility for performing sacrifices in strict discipline. Therefore, in this age of Kali, there is a stricture regarding such sacrifices. It is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Yajna and nothing more. The incarnation of the Supreme Lord is Yajneshvara. Unless one has respect for the incarnation of the Lord, he can perform perfectly. He cannot perfectly perform sacrifice. The incarnation of the Supreme Lord is Yajneshvara. In other words, taking shelter of the Lord and rendering service unto Him is the factual performance of all sacrifices, as explained herein. Different plates of sacrifice correspond to different parts of the body of the Lord's incarnations. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, it is explicitly directed that one should perform Sankirtan Yajna to please the Lord's incarnations as incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This should be rigidly followed in order to achieve the result of yajna performance. So any comments or questions from the South Indian Brahmins, Brahmin Association? Yeah.
So these Vedic bodies, they're reading the Vedas, right?
Yeah.
In the Vedas, tells the progressive path of how to become devoted to Krishna.
Well, kind of. For first place, even Madhvacharya apparently is quoting things that don't exist anymore. You know, people will say, well, we discovered this text, and it was originally a part of the Atharva Veda. Like that. You know. So how much of the Vedas are actually complete? You know, what is there? What hymns do we have? What samhitas? That's one first thing. You know, if you're actually reading it, and then how is that describing the progressive path? Veda was one, and then Vyasa means divide. So he's Veda Vyas. He then divided it into these different branches so people could understand what the meaning was and make progress like that. Yeah, and so, but you know, was that acceptable? Was he satisfied with his own product?
No.
He satisfied himself with his own product. Yeah. So then Narada Muni came along and said, "Yeah, because it's just too indirect. These people are never going to figure it out. People can keep coming to your vegetarian restaurant for 40,000 years and never figure out they should go to the Hare Krishna temple. You know, because you haven't got enough like direct comment like that. But too, even these correct literatures, it isn't like Arjuna said, Sisyas Teham Sarinam Tvam Prapanam. Krishna said, okay, fight, let's go. He didn't say that. He gave him 700 verses or whatever it is, 600 verses, to explain it. So, okay, it has to be explained directly, but even still, there has to be some proper explanation, proper environment to be able to communicate it like that. So Bhagavatam is also 18,000 verses. Yeah. There's so many supplementary literatures. Prabhupada says, it's easier to enter into Srimad Bhagavatam by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Right? Bhagavatam has been existing for 5,000 years, but the Lord had to come again to make it accessible. So without Chaitanya Charitamrita, probably difficult to catch the full meaning or like that in Bhagavatam. As a Christian, same thing, one branch of the Vedas. As I became a devotee, I was listening to what these priests were saying, and I could understand things. And they were just repeating them, just like that. They were just saying these sacrifices of their flesh and blood and wine and bread and rituals like that. And they were just saying these things, but they didn't know what they meant. But as a devotee, you can understand the people who originally wrote these things, the sources like that, had this comprehension. For progressive development and everything else like that. So yeah, I mean, if somebody who knows the Vedas, someone like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, right, can argue on that basis and establish these things, like from the Narayana Upanishad. Some places you see proper quoting like that from different, you know, Vedic sources like that, you know, to establish these things. It's okay? Yeah.
But you are already explaining everything in such a nice way, but to add more, Maharaj, you know, I'm coming from India and we are so much deeply and strictly involved in the worshipping of different goddesses. Like the other day, I was reading an article. In a family, the men didn't have the job and they lost everything. And then they went to Maharani Jagdambe Mata, and they worship, and ask for the, and then they get the mercy, but it's hard for them to go forward, to come to the stage of Bhagavatam and know Krishna.
Yeah.
So, such a thing.
And there's so many different aspects. I mean, for example, when I was in college, our physics professor said it has been conclusively proven that the beating of drums and the howling of mantras will always restore an eclipsed sun. Hundreds of experiments have shown this, that if you have the sun is eclipsed and you beat on your drums and howl and scream, the sun will come back. So it's a scientific proof. Yeah? No, you have to do the opposite experiment, not howl and not do the mantras to see what happens. So if they didn't go to the goddess so-and-so and, you know, mumbama and didn't worship her, then this they also would have got the result, right? Maybe it wasn't the worship that did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. The different aspects like that. And so, it's not maybe not even the demigods are responding this way. You know, whatever stories I've heard of these things like that is that many times the demigods express this point that we don't want to work this way. You know? I don't want these offerings of meat and wine. Yeah? Yeah? But, you know, finally, okay, if you're damned and determined. And the Bible says the same thing. The Bible is like a Dwapara Yuga, the Old Testament scripture like that. People dealing with people, doing sacrifice, they had some rituals. And so, you know, they wanted to do animal sacrifices, you know, because they wanted to eat the meat. You know? So God says, okay, go ahead. You know, eat it until it comes out of your nose and ears. Right? So you're not blessing them. You're just cursing them. Or if you want to do it, just eat it. Just do it until you realize what a nasty thing it is. You know? So the same way, there's many injunctions for worshiping different lower aspects, you know, of God, Kali Bhairav, you know, for these kind of purposes like that. But if you actually ask them and everything else, and then you say that they don't want this. They want Mahaprasad, they want to come to Kirtan, they want to dress nicely as Vaishnavas and, you know, yeah, and participate in this yajna. Yeah. And the yajna too, it's the same way. This is, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, in some ways, my appreciation is, you know, it's described as the ripened fruit, right? Nigama kapa toro galitam palam. So all these things that are described in the Vedas, another section is called Purusha Shukta Confirmed. They're all integrated with these things. For example, the story of Vritasura, it's in different Puranas and also it's in the Rig Veda, like that. Yeah? So Bhagavatam is not really different from the Vedas. It's just all these stories are there, and for us, these kind of like, you know, these prayers with the rishis are really kind of like, if you actually read the Sanskrit and everything else, kind of obscure, probably in the word-by-word meanings. He's like giving like translations of things and coming from the acharyas, like that. So at this level, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it's probably really very much Vedic, you know, in the way it's going on like that. So people will feel comfortable, these Vedic guys will feel comfortable, and they'll see, well, okay, but this is the essence. They're offering incense. Who's enjoying that? Well, the nostrils of the Lord. Who's hearing these beautiful prayers, these sutras, you know, like that? Oh, the ears of the Lord. Oh, yeah? Because without these personal features, what's the value? You know? Just the Vedas, they accept the Vedas as not being material sound, you know, as being transcendental sound, and therefore chanting these things is, you know, constructing the temple, constructing the, you know, whatever. But it's probably just the form of the Lord. You can see the Vedas as sound personified. It's a very subtle level of consciousness. And here they're arguing, the argument is to try and help these people who are on a subtle level of consciousness. And you can meet people whose senses are very controlled, they have very austere persons, they live very simply, their senses are controlled, their minds are controlled, but in their heart, they're thinking, I will become God, right? So their mind and senses in their life is in the mode of goodness, and their heart's in the most Prabhupada says, the greatest possible ignorance. And I'll become God. Let me become president, and let me become rich, but become God. That's like the most ridiculous proposition, right? Do you think you'll become God?
God.
I still think of it. Yeah. So these are people that are very elevated personalities, I would say, that these prayers especially would be appreciated. The Bhagavatam is talking to that kind of people, and these Vedavadis. One point I've been noticing, actually there is, I keep coming in contact with it now, there's, Prabhupada says they've recently started this off, they have recently made a rule in their group to formally observe daily sacrifice. And so you see that in the world, I think South America, people like especially, they're more ritualistic inclined there. So they have these books, you know, with the exact minute, or as you call it, or something, some clock, for calculating the exact minute of sunrise and sunset in your particular location like that. You belong to the group. And they want to have cow dung from pure cows. So one devotee in Miami started, you know, collecting cow dung from New Vrindavan, putting it in little packages and selling it for $1 each. So it's a good business like that. And they had to go through customs. And the lady's there, she said, what is this, you know? She said, well, it's cow dung. No, we can't pass that. What are you using it for? Well, we're using it in these sacrifices. Oh, it's incense. Okay, go ahead. She knew what it was. I'm just trying to find some reason to get it passed like that. Yeah. So, you know, he manufactures little kundas. What is it? Little fire, little brass kundas, all these things like that. And makes a good business off of these guys, you know. And they say, well, I did this for 3 months and my dog got better. And he was very sick. He's a big dog. And now he's better. Well, I did it for 3 months and, you know, our economic situation turned around. Now we're prosperous. I bought my mother a car. And, you know, Yeah, but they don't even have that, I don't think, so much. Again, because they're very much, Prabhupada says there are no incarnations. They're all just the prayers. The prayers and the sacrifices. You know, what's it for? Well, you know, material prosperity. You know? The Karma Mimamsa philosophers, many schools like that, same thing. You know, is that you just have to, all there is karma. Even Vishnu has his position because of doing good, pious activities. That was Hiranyakasipu's philosophy. Right? You know, I can take the post of Vishnu by doing, you know, behind everything it's impersonal. Every person has got that position because of the way the mechanics work. It's karma mimamsa. Even if there is a God, he also has to give you results of your activities. Like that. So better just to focus on your activities and do those properly and automatically. The Manichaeists, at the time of Christianity, when it was beginning, there was a group called Manichaeists. And they were the same thing, they were karma mimamsa guys. They were talking about the four principles and this kind of thing, and reincarnation. And the Catholic Church, in its, you know, purity, hated them. You know, had a big war with them, tracked them down and killed them, whatever. They were, you know, went back and forth. And finally, even now, apparently, it's like the Catholic Church still scholars. And so that's why they didn't emphasize the four principles. You know, because these guys were talking about this, but in terms of becoming God, all these kind of things. So they said, no, just worship God. And bow down to the Supreme Lord. That's what we're hearing from Christ and everything like that. Yeah? So they exist at the same time. Always in different philosophies. I was reading a book by Arnold Schwarzenegger a long time ago. He was describing his biography and, you know, everything else. Interesting. He said, whatever you fix your mind on and just determine to do it, you can do it. Right? You can achieve it. Like that. So it's kind of again like his philosophy is kind of karma mimamsa. And he's now the governor of California. Yeah. Everyone says, thank God he can't become president. He wasn't born in America. Yeah. So different philosophies about what is life. And if there's, again, if there's no emotional relationship with the Supreme Lord, then there's no ecstasy, there's no satisfaction for the soul, so you'll have more children. That was the purpose of Buddha's incarnation, was to increase the population. Right? Yeah, I don't know why, exactly, but because people were frustrated, you know? So therefore, they turned to rasa in mundane sexual relations, because you can't have it in spiritual relations. Yeah? Yeah. So this philosophy is very important. And where does it reside? Where does philosophy reside? Especially in your intelligence. Huh? Yeah. So you've got to make sure, you know, our intelligence, you know. We go through the day and different pressures come on as we keep going back to our intelligence. So if it's like fixed up, strong, right, in this philosophy, then, you know, we can automatically, we'll think right, we'll act right, we'll go up, better day. Maybe next lifetime we'll take birth in Maharloka. We'll all be there in Maharloka, the original form of Radha Nilamata Dham, made of pure intelligence, shining, effulgent. And we'll see Lord Varaha. Yes, we got Lord Chaitanya, the Agneshwara. Some very nice prayers. You know? Yeah. But again, you have to appreciate the humor, the environment, you know, for all these things. Yeah. Probably gives his example. So they're performing these fire sacrifices, but the point is that these things really, if you actually, you know, investigate these things, there's all these rules and regulations and everything else. You know. Probably see, you get the same result from chanting, how's it go, Coca-Cola, 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 over and over again as you do for the 4 week sacrifices. You know. Says you can increase your bile secretion like that, right? Yeah. So yeah, maybe you can, by concentrating this and that, you can get some kind of result, yeah. Something. Yeah. Yeah. But actually, the real thing is described in the Vedas, which is they say they claim they're following, then it's actually very, very sophisticated. Shrak, Shruva, Barhish, Chaturhotra, Ida, Chamasa, Prasita, Sitra, Graha, and Agnihotra. Yeah. One professor at the University of California, Fritz Stahl, he, a long time ago, he went to India, and he was an anthropologist, so he actually became famous for it. His whole life was basically fixed up because of this one thing he did. In South India, he organized one big Agnihotra, like that. And he followed the thing. The Yajna Shal was like about maybe half again as big as this building. And then, you know, the bricks had to be a certain size, they had to be arranged a certain way, they had to form the shape of this giant, I think this eagle. And then they had to be, you know, as much as possible, he followed all the Vedas. And the four priests who had to do this, they had to be their fathers and their grandfathers all had to have performed a sacrifice before them. Because it had to be like passing in the family for three generations to be a qualified priest. So he could only find, I think, one guy like this. And he found two more guys whose fathers had done it, not their grandfathers, and one more guy, I forgot what he was, he was just learning it the first time like that. You know? So right from the very beginning, his priests weren't qualified, is what it was describing like that. But it was a really big show. It was like really, wow, impressive. And then there was different rituals, and he following those as much as possible. And then finally, when the whole thing is finished, the whole arena of sacrifice is set on fire. So it was this gigantic blazing fire where all the bricks and everything else were burning with the oil and ghee and, you know, on and on like that, you know. But then afterwards, to get relief from all the distress, you go off and look for a prostitute in the village and drink wine. Yeah, that's the end of the result of the sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah. God. Yeah. So very difficult. Yeah. And Lord Chaitanya said, but also to this, his Prabhupada says, it is explicitly directed in the 11th canto that one should perform Sankirtan Yajna to please the Lord's incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he doesn't pose himself as the enjoyer of the sacrifice. He poses himself as somebody who enjoys engaging us for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Yeah. We're attired always in this humor. Sometimes they take the position of supreme enjoyer, but usually in the humor of being devotees, you know, of Radha and Krishna. And then they're happy when we're performing sacrifice, you know, for Radha and Krishna. Like that. One time, Vishnu Janan, apparently, was having his brahmacharis chant one round of Panchatattva mantra on their beads, like that. And news came to Prabhupada, and he said, no, there's more potency in this mantra than the Maha Mantra. But because Lord Chaitanya has asked us to chant Maha Mantra on our beads, we do that. Yeah. Yeah. So he's pleased when he's taking the position of guru. And, you know, he's engaging us. Oh, yes, we're engaging nicely. His humor. But sometimes he takes the position of Vishnu, like in the Gaurartik. You know, he sits on the throne and receives worship. This should be rigidly followed in order to achieve the result of yajna performance. Rigidly followed. Yeah. So we're talking about performing rituals. Later on we'll talk about the 12-day sacrifices, and there's so many things you can do, you know, different ways you can organize your time and do things like that. But here it's also talking about the sankirtan performance should also be rigidly performed. One devotee was asking Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, it says, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpita Niyamite Smaranayana Kalaha. Yeah. So there's no consideration of kalaha, time, you know, circumstance. And at any time, you know, you can chant these holy names and get result. So why do we do all these things? Why do you have Mangala Arti, Tulsi Puja, and why do we go even more extensive and establish a deity worship? And sometimes we do Agnihotra, and all these things, you know, Gayatri mantras, threads, baths, tilak. You know. Then Prabhupada says, if we just chant Hare Krishna, then Prabhupada says, yeah, it's like eating. Whenever you eat, there'll be some effect. Right? But if you eat properly, then there'll be, you know, be better effect like that. So same way, if you chant without offenses, you chant with a proper attitude, to concentration, all these things, you know. Well, I'm going to lie down for a while and chant. Try and do this, you know, lie down in your bed and chant. How long does it last? 6 minutes at the most, like that. Yeah. Sit properly. Yeah, you know, if you sit properly, your concentration is usually better, you know. Yeah, it's a whole thing. And again, you know, you can chant for some time, kirtan, chant, read for some time, and then do japa. 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. And you discover, wow, it just keeps on going. The kirtan wakes me up, yeah. And then the reading gets my intelligence clarified, and then the japa is in his meditation, directly on Krishna. Okay, and starting to lose my concentration, okay, then back. In reading books. Yeah. So many, you know, ways, formulas that the Prabhupada is teaching us how to do sankirtan yajna, how to perform the sacrifice. And of course, Mangala Arti is, you know, Brahma Muhurta, is so essential. Yeah. Mangala, what does Mangala mean? Yeah, yeah. So if you do this Mangala Arti, you know, properly, your whole day is auspicious. Auspicious. Right? Yeah. So very, very nice. You know? Hour and a half before sunrise, Prabhupada says that the gopis were dancing with Krishna, and then Brahma Muhurta came, and Krishna stopped the Rasa-lila dance. So could there be any more important service than Rasa-lila? No. But Krishna stopped it, you know, for the Brahma Muhurta observance. And so the gopis didn't want to stop, but they were very obedient to Krishna, as they did. And similarly, Rukmini was embracing Krishna. What better service can there be to be embracing Krishna? And then the roosters started crowing like that. If it was in Manipur, they would say, Cray Cray Kimomo. Right? You know, somebody should make a list of that, of all the different things that roosters say around the world. In French, it's like a French rooster. It's like, could you grow qui vu? I know in German, somebody else. In Spain, what it was, Kiki. Kiki-biki. But in America, our roosters say, cock-a-doodle-doo. Yeah. So anyway, she was, whatever they were saying, she was very disgusted because then, you know, she knew what Brahma Muhurta was so auspicious, but she wasn't very happy that Krishna would leave her and, you know, go do his, you know, he would get up, wash his hands, mouth, feet, sit down, and engage in meditation on himself. So we should follow his example. He had no choice because he is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, so he has to meditate on himself. You know? But we should meditate, probably says, on Radha Krishna. Yeah? And he says, there's no difference between the deity and the Maha Mantra. So we should meditate on this Maha Mantra, Radha Krishna, Hare Hara, and Krishna and Rama, the sacrifice, right? Brahmavarta. Yeah, what does the bhajan mean? You know, the word by word meanings, the grammar, you know. And one letter on the wall in Los Angeles, somebody, administrators wrote, Prabhupada is instructing all art kirtan leaders. There should be at least 20 minutes of Maha Mantra at each kirtan at that arti. So the bhajan is going to set the mood, the intelligence again. You know? We're all worshipping this guru. This is our qualification to be here. Please accept our sacrifice. He's like this and like that. Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a very wonderful opportunity. Yeah. Mongol arti. Yeah. Then 16 rounds. Yeah, nicely. And then after that, as much as possible, right? You know, all day long, kirtaniya sadahari. We're always respectful to everybody. He's trying to see the good qualities in everybody. Now, not flattery, but actually trying to see what good qualities people have. You know? Somebody comes to rob you. You say, oh, what a nice gun. that's a 457 Magnum, isn't it? It's, oh, it is, actually. Well, I feel honored to be robbed by such a powerful thief. You know, here's all my money. Well, keep half, it's okay. Yeah, but actually looking, you'll find the Vishnu Jwara and the Shiva Jwara. Yeah, I forgot what it was where Shiva was trying to protect Banasura, all the arms there. Yeah. And so in the end, he invokes the Shiva Jwara, and the Narayana Jwara comes and defeats it. And then Shiva Jwara offers prayers. And he says there always has to be a little bit of goodness in every situation. Because without a little bit of goodness, things could not even exist. You know. So at least I want to thank you, Amarinda, for your good qualities. You exist. You exist. Thank you. Yeah. So we can always find something. You know, and that's that perspective then we can chant all the time. Tunata Pisa Nichanata Rory Vasi Tuna. You can always chant. You know, always engage in Sankirtan Yavana. And then everything, what's the result? Chetolarpanamarjanam, Baba Maha Dabarni Nirvapanam, Shreya Koirava Chandrika Vitaranam. What does that mean?
The mirror of your mind.
Huh? What's that one phrase though? Shreya Koirava Chandrika Vitaranam. The white lotus of good fortune expands everywhere like that. Yeah. Everything becomes auspicious, and then free and liberated, everything's auspicious, and then you can actually begin to appreciate the spiritual world, manifest the spiritual world. And you see devotees, for example, coming back from book distribution, they've been out traveling on Sankirtan for a week and just absorbed in book distribution. You can see that they're just surcharged. They're looking at you like smiling. And they're seeing, it's the transcendental nature of potential of everything like that. Engaging Sankirtan. So we have to learn how to do this rigidly and systematically, and then all these results will happen. Everything will happen. That it happens from the Vedic sacrifices. But it has to be the same way. You have to actually have to get the results of the Vedic sacrifices. So
but this is relating to four kinds of fruitive activities and the relation dharma satsang.
Maybe it might be that. But that sounds the fruits or fruitive activities or another.
Those four kinds.
Dharma artha sounds like the fruitive activities. No, it's the thing that's great. These are like somebody who really knows the Vedas, and all the rituals and described in the Soma Veda and all these kind of things, probably would know these things. If you look at the word-by-word translations, you seem to have almost no real clear connection with the Sanskrit words. Yeah. You can find one here like that. Yeah. But later on it goes like that. This soma. Yeah, chitu hotram. The four kinds of fruitive activities. Hotra means sacrifice. Agni hotram. Yeah.
Would you consider those four principles under fruitive activities?
I don't know exactly called Artha, Panchama Artha, the four goals. They could call the four goals, but Dharma Artha, Artha may be fruitive activities. Artha is result. Yeah, so I don't know exactly. Yeah. I say it's very complicated. It says that, you know, the Vedas are like a banyan tree. You can go up, you can go down, you can go left, you can go right. You can't find where it all starts, where it all ends. It's like that. Gaur Sundar, his father was, you know, he was doing sacrifices. He was dean of Hindi studies at Brody University, you know. Like, he was born 95 years ago or something like that. And he said, you know, even if you're born in a Brahmin family, I mean a real Brahminical family, you learn Sanskrit from the very youngest years, you know, still, it's you know, many of these sections in the Vedas are so obscure that nobody knows what they mean. Can't really explain what this means like that. What to speak of somebody who studies Sanskrit for 3 years or 5 years and starts to translate the Vedas like that. It's a complete joke. You know? They start translating Ramachandra as the blissful moon or something like that. You know, no, Chandra is appellative given to somebody for his high qualities like that. Oh, you know, we know that. You know. There's so many things like that. Is that, you know, and someone like Bhakti Siddhanta, who, you know, can remember everything you read and is reading all these things, right? Then he can put it together and give some kind of like, you know, explanation about the whole thing. And then the banyan tree, you can finally see what the banyan tree means. You know, like that. You give back, this is all the body of the Supreme Lord. You know? And it's obvious, you know, if you're that qualified. So then Prabhupada gives us these, you know, purports. We're going through them. And become more purified. It's very nice. These prayers are very nice, chanting these prayers to Lord Varaha, the rishis, like that. Is that one? Shraktunda asit sruva ishanasayor idodare chamasakarna randre pasitramashi grasane grahas tute yacharvanam te bhagavan agni hotram somastu reta shavanani avastiti samstavibedas tavadeha datave. Very nice, especially if you understand the Sanskrit. Very nice, you know? Yeah. And everything else will automatically be arranged. Lord Chaitanya is saying, everything else, your income, your health, your wealth, prosperity, everything will automatically be arranged if you just soar in this atmosphere of, you know, chanting the Vedas. Shumam Bhagavatam ki. Sapapada ki. Okay, Sankatam Jamana ki. Ramchandra Bhagavan ki. Agni Hopa.